Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Rutherford v. United States, docket number 24820, decided May 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. Petitioners Daniel Rutherford and Johnny Carter were each convicted of multiple counts of using and carrying a firearm during a crime of violence in violation of Section 924C. At the time they were sentenced, a defendant convicted of more than one such count faced a mandatory 25-year sentence for the second offense that was stacked on top of, and run consecutively to, the penalty for the first, producing a 32-year minimum for Rutherford and a 57-year minimum for Carter. Years later, Congress passed the First Step Act of 2018, which eliminated this stacking requirement for first-time offenders, but it did not make that change retroactive, so neither petitioner qualified for the reduced penalties. Each instead invoked the non-retroactive change as a basis for a sentence reduction under the Compassionate Release Provision, Section 3582, C1AI, and the courts below held that such a change cannot serve as an extraordinary and compelling reason for a reduction. The court granted certiorari in these consolidated cases to resolve a split among the circuits. The question presented was whether the Sentencing Commission acted within its expressly delegated authority by permitting district courts to consider, in narrowly cabined circumstances, a non-retroactive change in law in determining whether extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant a sentence reduction. The court held, when Congress declines to make a sentencing amendment retroactive, as with the change to Section 924C, the resulting sentencing disparity cannot serve as an extraordinary and compelling reason that warrants a sentence reduction under Section 3582, C1AI. To the extent the Sentencing Commission's 2023 policy statement counsels otherwise, it is invalid. Justice Barrett delivered the opinion of the court. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justice Kagan and Justice Jackson joined. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We're continually working to improve our process to reduce these, and we appreciate you sticking with us as we improve the listening experience. The following is the opinion of the court in Rutherford v. United States.
A prison sentence, once imposed, usually cannot be modified by the district court, 18 United States Code, Section 3582B. But Congress has established several narrow exceptions to this rule. One exception, commonly referred to as compassionate release, permits the court to reduce a term of imprisonment if it finds, among other things, that extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant such a reduction. We consider whether the sentencing disparity created by Congress's non-retroactive change to Section 924C's mandatory penalties can serve as an extraordinary and compelling reason that warrants a reduction. We hold that it cannot. Daniel Rutherford, petitioner in one of these consolidated cases, committed two separate robberies at gunpoint in 2003. A jury convicted him of several crimes, including two counts of using and carrying a firearm during a crime of violence, in violation of Section 924C. At the time, a defendant convicted of two Section 924C counts was subject to a mandatory 25-year sentence of imprisonment for the second offense that would be stacked upon, that is, run consecutively to, the first offense's mandatory penalty, which, for Rutherford, was 7 years. See Deal v. United States decided in 1993. Rutherford's two Section 924C counts thus earned him a 32-year minimum sentence, resulting in a total sentence of over 42 years of imprisonment. Johnny Carter, petitioner in the other case, received an even longer mandatory minimum under Section 924C. In 2007, Carter participated in a string of armed bank robberies. Among other offenses, he was convicted of three Section 924C counts. Carter was sentenced to 70 years of imprisonment, 57 of which came from his stacked Section 924C convictions. Years after Rutherford and Carter were each sentenced, Congress passed the First Step Act of 2018, a landmark piece of legislation that changed the federal criminal sentencing system in numerous respects, Hewitt v. United States, decided in 2025. Among the changes was the elimination of Section 924C's 25-year stacking requirement for first-time offenders. A 25-year consecutive sentence is now required only for a violation that occurs after a prior conviction under this subsection has become final. Section 403A. This change would have made a significant difference for both Rutherford and Carter. Had either been sentenced today, his mandatory minimum under Section 924C would have been much shorter, 14 years for Rutherford and 21 years for Carter. Obviously, Rutherford and Carter, not to mention the many other similarly situated prisoners, would like the benefit of the Act's amendment to Section 924C. As a rule, however, changes to sentencing statutes apply only to offenses committed after the statute's effective date. See Hewitt. The Act departs from this rule in a very limited respect. Its more lenient penalties apply to offenses committed before the statute's enactment if a sentence for the offense has not been imposed as of such date of enactment. But for defendants sentenced before the Act, the general rule of non-retroactivity remains in place. See Hewitt. Rutherford and Carter acknowledge that they do not qualify for the reduced penalties. Nonetheless, each has invoked the Act as a ground for compassionate release under Section 3582C. At this point, some background on the compassionate release provision is helpful. This provision, which was part of the Sentencing Reform Act of 1984, allows a district court to reduce a prison term after considering the factors set forth in Section 3553A to the extent that they are applicable if the court finds that extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant such a reduction, and that such a reduction is consistent with applicable policy statements issued by the Sentencing Commission. Congress did not specify what extraordinary and compelling reasons might warrant compassionate release. It did, however, authorize the Commission to promulgate policy statements that describe what should be considered extraordinary and compelling reasons for sentence reduction, including the criteria to be applied and a list of specific examples. The Commission first issued an applicable policy statement in 2006 and amended it the following year to identify several extraordinary and compelling reasons for compassionate release. Terminal illness, permanent physical or medical condition, deteriorating physical or mental health because of the aging process, death or incapacitation of the defendant's only family member capable of caring for the defendant's minor child or minor children, and a catch-all category for other reasons not specifically enumerated, as determined by the Director of the Bureau of Prisons. In 2016, the Commission streamlined the statement to recognize four categories of reasons: medical condition of the defendant, age of the defendant, family circumstances, and other reasons. When Congress passed the First Step Act in 2018, it amended the compassionate release provision. While it left the extraordinary and compelling standard untouched, it opened a new procedural route for seeking a reduction. Originally, only the Bureau of Prisons could ask a district court to reduce a prisoner's sentence. The Act gives the prisoner greater agency. He may request that the Bureau file a motion on his behalf, and if it declines or fails to do so within 30 days, he may file a motion himself. The Act also obligates the Bureau to take certain steps when a prisoner is diagnosed with a terminal illness or is mentally or physically unable to file his own motion. For example, the Bureau must inform the defendant's attorney, partner, and family members about the defendant's condition, and that they can file a sentence reduction request on his behalf. The Commission lost a quorum shortly after the Act went into effect and did not update its policy statement to address these changes. Most circuits held that the existing statement, which mentioned only motions filed by the Bureau, did not apply to motions filed by prisoners. See United States v. Andrews and see United States v. Bryant applying the policy statement. So for this new class of motions, most courts interpreted the statute without input from the Commission. They were soon forced into uncharted territory. Relevant here, courts faced a surge of motions from prisoners who invoked the Act's non-retroactive sentencing amendments as grounds for compassionate release. Most courts of appeals held that a non-retroactive amendment to a mandatory minimum cannot serve as an extraordinary and compelling reason for a reduced sentence. A minority, however, concluded that the disparity produced by such an amendment can justify a reduced sentence, at least when considered in combination with other factors. The Commission eventually regained a quorum, entered the fray, and sided with the minority. In 2023, it amended its policy statement to add a new category to the list of extraordinary and compelling reasons, unusually long sentence. See USSG Appendix C, Amendment 814. Under this category, if a defendant received an unusually long sentence and has served at least 10 years of the term of imprisonment, a change in the law, other than an amendment to the guidelines manual that has not been made retroactive, may be considered in determining whether the defendant presents an extraordinary and compelling reason. But only where such change would produce a gross disparity between the sentence being served and the sentence likely to be imposed at the time the motion is filed, and after full consideration of the defendant's individualized circumstances. Three commissioners voted against the amendment and accused the commission of making a seismic structural change to our criminal justice system without congressional authorization or directive. Back to the cases at hand. After the First Step Act became effective, Rutherford moved for compassionate release. He argued that extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant a reduction because he had received an unusually long sentence under a statutory provision that Congress has since found too punitive, but has not made retroactively applicable. In addition, he noted that he suffered from obesity and hypertension, which rendered him more vulnerable to the COVID-19 virus. While Rutherford's motion was pending, the Third Circuit held that the non-retroactive change to Section 924C cannot serve as an extraordinary and compelling reason for compassionate release. See Andrews. The district court then denied Rutherford's motion, and Rutherford appealed that ruling to the Third Circuit. While his appeal was pending, the commission amended its policy statement, and Rutherford asked the Court of Appeals to consider the effect of this statement in the first instance. The Third Circuit affirmed the district court's denial of Rutherford's motion. The court acknowledged that Congress had authorized the commission to issue a policy statement fleshing out the meaning of extraordinary and compelling reasons under Section 3582C. But that statement, the court said, cannot go beyond what Congress intended. And as the Third Circuit had already explained in Andrews, it makes no sense to construe Congress's non-retroactivity directive as simultaneously creating an extraordinary and compelling reason for early release, quoting Andrews. Because the Commission's amended policy statement conflicts with the will of Congress, the court held, it cannot be considered in determining a prisoner's eligibility for compassionate release. Carter's case is similar. After the Commission amended its policy statement, he moved for a reduction under Section 3582C, arguing that his sentence is unusually long and that the Act created a gross disparities between his original sentence and the one he would receive under the amended Section 924C. He also pointed to his strong family ties, rehabilitation, and good conduct while incarcerated as additional reasons for a reduction. Bound by Andrews, the district court denied Carter's motion and Carter appealed. While the appeal was pending, the Third Circuit decided Rutherford's case. Shortly thereafter, it summarily affirmed the denial of Carter's motion. The circuits remain divided over whether the disparity created by a non-retroactive change to sentencing law, like the Act, can constitute an extraordinary and compelling reason that warrants compassionate release. Most courts of appeals that previously answered this question in the negative have determined that they are not bound by the Sentencing Commission's contrary amendment to its policy statement. We granted certiorari in these consolidated cases to resolve the split, decided in 2025. Petitioners argue that the Third Circuit's decisions depart from the plain text of Section 3582C and ignore binding guidance from the Sentencing Commission. We disagree. When Congress declines to make a sentencing amendment retroactive, the fact that a pre-amendment sentence is longer than it would have been post-amendment is not an extraordinary and compelling reason that warrants a sentence reduction. 18 United States Code, Section 3582C. Insofar as the Commission's amended policy statement maintains otherwise, it conflicts with the statute. A. The compassionate release provision empowers a district court to reduce the term of imprisonment if it finds, among other things, that extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant such a reduction. The term extraordinary means most unusual, far from common, or having little or no precedent. Webster's Third New International Dictionary, 807-1976, and Oxford English Dictionary, 614 Second Edition, 1989, out of the usual or regular course or order. Compelling, meanwhile, means tending to convince or convert by, or as if by, forcefulness of evidence. Webster's Third New International Dictionary and Oxford English Dictionary, irresistible, demanding attention or respect. Putting these definitions together, extraordinary and compelling reasons for compassionate release are those that are especially unusual and convincing. The disparity created by Congress's amendment to Section 924C does not satisfy this definition. Far from extraordinary, non-retroactive amendments to criminal penalties are the norm. Ordinarily, we have explained, statutory changes to federal penalties only benefit future offenders. Hewitt, see 1 United States Code, Section 109. Congress sometimes deviates from the default, as it did in the Act, by extending the revised penalties to defendants not yet sentenced. Even then, some measure of prospectivity is par for the course. The ordinary practice is to withhold that change from defendants already sentenced. Dorsey v. United States, decided in 2012. And regardless of whether the line is drawn at the offense or the sentence, a non-retroactive penalty change necessarily creates a disparity between those who receive the benefit and those who do not. C. Disparities reflect a line-drawing effort and will exist whenever Congress enacts a new law changing sentences. Such a disparity is an unexceptional feature of a system in which non-retroactivity is the default. As for compelling, it is hard to see how Congress's deliberate decision not to extend newly reduced penalties to those already sentenced could be a convincing reason that warrants a reduction. 18 United States Code, Section 3582C. As we have explained, Congress decided to apply the lower prison sentences to some violators of Section 924C, those for whom a sentence had not yet been imposed, but not others. Section 403B. In doing so, Congress reinforced its interest in finality and avoided burdening district courts with additional litigation. Hewitt plurality opinion. Treating the disparity resulting from Section 924C's amendment as a compelling reason for reducing a sentence would undermine Congress's choice to leave the sentence intact. It would also fall well outside the heartland of compassionate release, which has long been defined by a prisoner's personal circumstances. After Congress enacted Section 3582C, the Bureau of Prisons explained that the standards for compassionate release mirrored those of a prior sentence reduction statute, and that releases have been most often applied in cases where the inmate is terminally ill. See 28 CFR Section 572, providing that the Bureau would move for a sentence reduction under 18 United States Code, Section 4205G. In particularly meritorious or unusual circumstances, such as if there is an extraordinary change in an inmate's personal or family situation, or if an inmate becomes severely ill. The Act's heightened procedural requirements are similarly tied to personal circumstances. The Bureau must provide extra assistance to a movant diagnosed with a terminal illness or who is physically or mentally unable to submit a request on his own. Section 3582D, 2018. And from 2007 until 2023, the Sentencing Commission highlighted essentially three grounds for compassionate release: medical condition, age, and family circumstances. We need not decide whether there are reasons beyond personal circumstances that could qualify as extraordinary and compelling. Until very recently, no one thought that non-retroactive sentencing amendments were among them. They are not. Petitioners, echoed by the dissent, insist that our reading artificially limits the text. The terms extraordinary and compelling, they say, are comprehensive and flexible, requiring a case-by-case inquiry into the totality of the circumstances. See brief for Petitioner Carter 41. And under this flexible, all-things-considered approach, a judge may consider the disparity resulting from Congress's amendment to Section 924C. While the terms extraordinary and compelling leave room for judgment, they are not so flexible as to encompass any consideration. Their meaning depends on context. A reason is extraordinary and compelling only if it is sufficiently unusual and convincing to warrant compassionate release. 18 United States Code, Section 3582C, see Fernandez v. United States. As we have explained, the disparity resulting from Congress's amendment to Section 924C tracks ordinary sentencing practice and reflects Congress's deliberate choice to extend relief to some prisoners and not others. Thus, the disparity is neither an extraordinary nor a compelling reason that warrants a reduction in sentence. Both petitioners and the dissent note that when Congress empowered the Sentencing Commission to describe the grounds for compassionate release, it included only one express limitation. Rehabilitation of the defendant alone shall not be considered an extraordinary and compelling reason. 28 United States Code, Section 994T, by ruling out just one reason, they argue, Congress impliedly authorized the district court to consider all other relevant information. This argument fares no better. We have repeatedly emphasized that the force of any negative implication depends on context. CNLRB v. SW General Incorporated, decided in 2017, see also A. Scalia and B. Garner, Reading Law, The Interpretation of Legal Texts. A speaker's choice to rule out one item does not always mean that the rest of the universe is on the table. Imagine that a dietitian cautions her patient, pasta alone is not an acceptable dinner. Though the patient might fervently wish otherwise, this advice does not license any meal besides standalone pasta. Fried chicken with a side of funnel cakes? A bowl of Lucky Charms? Instead, the dietitian surely had some reason, like the patient's past eating habits, to caution against this specific choice. So too with Section 994T. By addressing rehabilitation, Congress did not impliedly bless all other considerations. Instead, it had a particular reason, namely, past sentencing practice, to single out this factor. Before the Sentencing Reform Act, both indeterminate sentencing and parole were based on concepts of the offender's possible, indeed probable, rehabilitation, a view that it was realistic to attempt to rehabilitate the inmate and thereby to minimize the risk that he would resume criminal activity upon his return to society. Mistretta v. United States, decided in 1989. Guided by this aim, the judge and parole officer each made decisions based on their own assessments of the offender's amenability to rehabilitation. When the Sentencing Reform Act eliminated parole and instituted a new sentencing regime, it rejected imprisonment as a means of promoting rehabilitation. See 18 United States Code, Section 3582A. Imprisonment is not an appropriate means of promoting correction and rehabilitation. Ruling out rehabilitation alone as a basis for compassionate release therefore underscores the break from the old system. It suggests nothing about what other reasons might qualify as extraordinary and compelling. And in petitioner's telling, the list is long. They emphasize that when imposing or modifying a sentence, a district court ordinarily enjoys broad discretion to consider all relevant information unless prohibited by the Constitution or by Congress. Concepcion v. United States, decided in 2022, see 18 United States Code, Section 3066(1), no limitation shall be placed on the information concerning the background, character, and conduct of a person which a court may receive and consider for the purpose of imposing an appropriate sentence. Section 35A2C expressly recognizes that discretion, they argue, by providing that a court may grant relief after considering the factors set forth in Section 3553A, to the extent that they are applicable. Those factors include the kinds of sentences available, the kinds of sentence, and the sentencing range established for the applicable category of offense, and the need to avoid unwarranted sentence disparities. A factor like the disparity caused by a non-retroactive sentencing amendment, petitioners contend, fits right in. Petitioners skip a step. Before determining the extent of a reduction based on the Section 353A factors, a court must first ensure that a movant is part of the limited class of prisoners who are eligible for such a reduction. Dillon v. United States, decided in 2010. And whether a prisoner is eligible depends on whether he can offer extraordinary and compelling reasons that warrant compassionate release, not on the Section 3553A factors. This gatekeeping requirement is not, as petitioners seem to believe, a free-for-all. It is a distinct analytical step that imposes independent and ascertainable limits on access to compassionate release. Concepcion v. United States is not to the contrary. Concepcion involves sentence modification proceedings under a different provision of the Act. All agreed that the defendant was eligible for a reduction under that provision. The only question was, what type of information the district court could consider in modifying his sentence. Because that provision lacks any limiting language, we concluded that a court could consider changes to the guidelines, as well as intervening facts, when calculating a new sentence under it. Today's cases differ from Concepcion because they concern whether a prisoner is eligible for compassionate release in the first place. And on that score, Congress has expressly cabined district court's discretion by prohibiting a reduction in sentence unless a court finds that extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant it. Finally, petitioners downplay the conflict between the Act and their interpretation of Section 3582C. True, Congress chose not to reduce Section 924C penalties on a categorical basis for already sentenced defendants. But petitioners' approach is not categorical. The disparity between a pre- and post-Act sentence would serve as just one of at least two considerations that, taken together, warrant compassionate release. And reducing a sentence based on an all-things-considered judgment, petitioners argue, does not contradict Congress's decision to leave a class of offenders ineligible for a sentencing reduction. Implications of this argument are sweeping. Indeed, its logic extends well beyond non-retroactive sentencing amendments to disagreement with the length of any punishment on the books. Take a judge who believes that a mandatory minimum is unduly harsh. Could she treat the severity of the sentence as an extraordinary and compelling reason for compassionate release? Petitioners refuse to rule out this possibility at oral argument. Yet it is the legislature, not the court, which is to define a crime and ordain its punishment. Treating the severity of a mandatory penalty as a reason for compassionate release rejects Congress's judgment that the punishment fits the crime. And petitioners' proposal, injecting other factors into the mix of extraordinary and compelling reasons, does not solve the problem. The Sixth Circuit put it well, adding a legally impermissible ground to three insufficient factual considerations does not entitle a defendant to a sentence reduction. United States v. Jarvis, 444, 2021. This brings us to the Sentencing Commission. Recall that Congress authorized the Commission to promulgate policy statements that describe what should be considered extraordinary and compelling reasons for sentence reduction, and provided that any grant of compassionate release must be consistent with the Commission's policy statements. Recall, too, that the Commission's current policy statement allows consideration of non-retroactive legal changes in certain circumstances. Petitioners contend that our interpretation of the statute must yield to the policy statement. Petitioners misunderstand the Commission's role. Congress has empowered the Commission to give meaning to the compassionate release provision by identifying the circumstances that constitute extraordinary and compelling reasons for release. Loper Bright Enterprises v. Raimondo, decided in 2024. Even so, the Commission's policy statements must be consistent with the governing statute, 28 United States Code, Section 994A, and courts have a duty to independently interpret the statute and effectuate the will of Congress. We are not bound to follow the Commission's guidance when it exceeds its statutory authority by adopting a definition of a term that is inconsistent with the statute. See Batterton v. Francis, decided in 1977. Put differently, the Commission's interpretation must land within the statutory goalposts, no matter how wide they might be. We need not nail down the precise boundaries of the phrase extraordinary and compelling to conclude that with regard to the particular dispute in this case, the statute's language has a plain and unambiguous meaning. The statutory text and structure make clear that Congress's non-retroactive change to Section 924C, considered by itself or in combination with other factors, cannot make a prisoner eligible for compassionate release. To the extent that it counsels otherwise, the Commission's policy statement is invalid. Compassionate release is available only when a court finds that extraordinary and compelling reasons warrant a sentence reduction. The disparity that results from Congress's decision to leave a sentence untouched cannot serve as one of those reasons. The judgments of the Third Circuit are affirmed. It is so ordered.